I think if you don't eat any food and you have a shit ton of black coffee,
yeah.
it's meth. It's just meth. I don't know. But tweakers could wean themselves off of meth by just chewing on coffee grounds.
And you've done meth.
Okay. So, I didn't need to.
Oh, sorry.
I've done the Pepsi challenge. And let me tell you, Folgers on an empty stomach is the same as sucking a dick for a rock.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying
you could cut down. You could cut your dick sucking in half, meth heads, if you just invested in a tin can of coffee.
I've said that before, and I don't know what it is about.
I didn't do meth on purpose. It was an accident. Anyway, go on.
I don't know what it is about iced coffee. I think iced coffee fucks with me more. Yeah. I will have a bucket of iced coffee on an empty stomach, and I am tweaking
isn't the way you make iced coffee, it's like it's more concentrated, right?
I assume so. It feels like it. Anyway, like you can tell if I'm at work back when work was a thing.
Sure.
You can just tell that I'm high because I can't stop texting you. And I'll go on rabbit holes.
Your pupils change.
Do they?
Yeah, for sure. Because you're slight, too. So it affects you even more. When I'm at work sometimes and I'm really bored, like if I'm doing an overnight shift, I will just hit that coffee machine just to see how jacked up I can get.
My God.
Which is just, would you do that?
Yeah, you're going to make your heart explode.
Right.
Like Secretariat.
Do you think that could happen?
Is that what happened to Secretariat?
He drank too much coffee?
Yeah, they gave him too much coffee. Yeah, I think you could.
We got to stop giving these horses troughs and troughs of coffee.
They love it. No, somebody came out with a study recently that was like, this just in, you can drink up to 27 cups of coffee a day and it won't be detrimental to your health. And everyone had the same tweet. They're like, I guess I have to cut back then.
Oh, God.
I guess I'll have to have less coffee then.
You love to see that, like, everybody making the same joke right in a row, you know, on your Twitter feed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember a big one was, I better get Lyme disease if I get coronavirus because you can't have corona without a Lyme.
Oh, man.
And it's like, boom, 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 boom.
Take that to Facebook, Grandpa.
You know what I saw the other day on TikTok? Some girl just straight up doing Mark Norman jokes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Some like teen girl was like...
Was she lip syncing them or was she...
No, she was saying them.
What?
What's the joke? It's something about, oh, sluts are like Walmart. Everybody hates them. Until it's 3 a.m. and you're inside of one and you're like, boy, I'm glad these exist.
Yeah.
It was verbatim. And it wasn't like, you know, because Mark Norman writes original shit.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
Well, that's for sure. She didn't even switch up a word.
Wow.
You know? I mean, it's a good way to go if you're going to plagiarize shit, because people on TikTok, there's no crossover with people who watch great stand-up comedy.
Yeah,
you know,
because
they're all kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So you go steal from somebody great. Bring it to TikTok.
That'd be cool if she's doing like George Carlin.
Yeah.
They're like, she's amazing.
Yeah. The government doesn't care about you. Whoa. I never thought about that. So I spent all day yesterday fighting on the internet. I don't know if you were aware.
I was watching you fight on the internet.
You were there giving me moral support.
Uh-huh. I don't know what my position is when you're fighting with somebody on the internet.
To back me no matter what I say.
Oh, that's
tricky.
We've
talked about this.
That's too tricky for me.
I'm the Republican senator standing at that podium saying, yes, I did have sex with that dog. That is me on that film. I apologize. My wife is here. You need to be standing right next to me.
With that vacant look in my eyes.
Yeah, in your pantsuit, like quietly shivering.
Stand by your man.
Exactly.
That's my role in this, apparently.
So this is what happened. This was the big controversy yesterday on comedy Twitter and Facebook. A bunch of people, and I think you've noticed this as well, have been posting things like, hey, if you left New York City, stay the fuck out of New York City. Or when you come back to New York City, all the comedy spots are going to the people who didn't leave New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually pretty aggressive and angry. And it's just it's such a fucking goofy thing to see. It's just like clearly wrong to say that. Like, go fuck yourself. And I've seen it a couple times. And then yesterday, I saw a comedy booker wrote this tweet. A comic on a show last night said that if, when comedy comes back, likely with less venues / shows happening, comics who stayed in New York should get first dibs on New York spots. And I just want to say, I enthusiastically support this and am keeping a list. So somebody posted that on Facebook. So I wrote a kind of generic go fuck you to anybody who says this kind of thing,
right?
You know,
yeah.
Should I read that, or is it just like,
it's no, you know, that's a good concise way of putting it. That's basically all you said.
Yeah. I mean, it was more or less pretty angry, and I called comedy bookers with goofy tyrants.
That's not the, all. That's not the all but that's
no, not all comedy bookers.
Yeah, but no, I'm just clarifying for your sake, like,
right,
you
right.
didn't call all comedy bookers goofy tyrants. It's
yeah,
people.
Yeah. Don't blacklist me, which I think is already happening now that this is all gone down. But I wasn't. There's so many people that I respect and think put together great shows, and especially if you're tied to a club, you're elevated to business person. You know what I mean? Like you do more than just send out Facebook messages. Hey, come to this bar at this time.
Yeah.
For free, usually, you know, and just to have that attitude is just. Well, we'll get into it, but so I posted that thing on Facebook, and I just want to reiterate that the most aggressive language I used were the words goofy and tyrant, which will become important later. So somebody screen grabbed that and sent that to. Well, first of all, like I said, it was a generic post. It was referring to that tweet I just read, but also a handful of other tweets and posts I had seen, and then somebody made it about. A specific person in the comments.
Yeah, that was no good. I mean,
which was a stupid move to begin with.
Yeah,
just like
using somebody's name too, and it suddenly became so specific. And it was. I think that person who was named, their post was the tipping point, and they were obviously involved. But it really was like a larger group of people. If you had just seen that post and that was the only thing you'd seen, I think you kind of would have just rolled your eyes at it and been like. Whatever.
Right.
But it's just been over and over.
Yeah,
I've, and
I have
over
this group
again.
Chat going where we share things like this. And it's like, how many of these are we going to put up with? Because comics, especially ones like us who aren't, you know, on television, we have to just put up with gatekeepers. We just have to, these people just get to say whatever the fuck they want, whenever the fuck they want to say it.
Yeah.
And we just have to sit back and be like, oh, well, if I rock the boat, I won't be able to perform for 10 minutes. That's how stupid this whole thing is.
Yeah.
It's frustrating, and everybody's frustrated by it. And the people that stood by her, which is, I'm pretty sure, few and far between, their motivations are suspect. They want her to book them eventually.
Right.
So that's how you get this like confidence and this arrogance of just like shitting on people or saying things there that are obnoxious, whereas you and I might say something similar to that and immediately somebody's gonna be like, why don't you go fuck yourself?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had to leave New York because of a specific reason, which I listed, by the way, in my post. Like, people left New York because, you know, maybe they're taking care of somebody, maybe they just want to not die.
It's also just a symptom of a larger, it's a much bigger thing than like comedians versus bookers. It's like, this is a really scary time, and why are we doing this?
Yeah, why are you so aggressive?
Why are we doing this divide thing, this divisive, like, hey, go fuck yourself thing?
I mean to do the who is not a real New Yorker argument, I mean, it's so juvenile, and it's like, it hurts your brain to get involved in it. And
yeah.
I'm not going to, I don't want to go down all my qualifications on how long I live here. We're here, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. So when she came at us, or came at me a bunch about, you know, people being pussies for leaving, we're fucking here.
Yeah.
You're just obnoxious, you know? It doesn't change the fact that you're fucking obnoxious.
Which was an interesting point. For you to get involved in is like, you're kind of like mad on behalf of other people. Like, why are you guys doing this?
Yeah.
You know, you're like, you're in New York, so you could take the side of, yeah, fuck them, you know, like I'm putting my life on the line here. But it's like, no, why are you being shitty?
Right. And it's also for comedians frustrating to see yet another reason why people aren't getting booked, It doesn't have anything to do with funny or not funny. It's just another, add that to the list. Add it to, you don't have enough Twitter followers. You don't have the right friends. You know, there's too many white guys on this show, whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. It is to see another one tacked on. So the new thing is whether or not you stayed in New York, and it's never, I mean, you just want to get these people to tattoo funny, not funny on their arm. And then when they're watching a comedian and considering whether or not they should book them, they should just look down at their arm and circle one and be like, oh, okay, well then, you know, we should make a flow chart. Are they funny?
Right.
Arrow, book them. Are they not funny? Don't book them. But it's all, you know, it's tyrannical behavior. That's why I use the word, you know? Anyway, so this woman comes at me. Well, I guess I came at her first, but whatever. She comes back at me. And so her defense, which is great, and what I really want to get into is that it was a joke, that this was a joke. Mm-hmm. And you heard it. I mean, maybe it struck your ear as hilarious, but I guess I didn't pick up on that because I don't understand comedy. I guess the person who books the bar shows knows more than the comedy community, because a ton of people did not see that as a joke.
Yeah.
A lot of people that, you know, later on in our discussion, I knew she'd do this. She pulled rank on me and like called me an amateur, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people who are considered pros did not understand this tweet and were rubbed the wrong way by it. Did not understand it. We'll get to that later. It wasn't a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Her co-host on her podcast that this is a rebuttal to, who in a way had her back, but also did not understand it. You can find his tweet saying, hey, a lot of people left for different reasons. You know, people got a lot going on right now. Some people are taking care of sick relatives. I don't know the tweet verbatim with which he responded, but even he didn't fucking get it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what clearly happened was she was saying something shitty and then made it a joke retroactively, which is the most... We all know, we all grew up with that kid who is like, who punches you in the arm when you're fucking 4 and you start crying. Like, I was joking with you. Yeah. Oh my God.
Were you upset or something?
Are you kidding me? I was a joke. Like,
even if it was tongue in cheek, here's what I want to give this person the benefit of the doubt, that it's like, I never actually intended to make a list. That's fine. But like, you're kind of... it's a stark reminder that some people stand in the way of comedy for arbitrary reasons.
Yeah.
It's just like, whether it's a joke or not, it's just like right there as a, like I said, as a reminder that it, like, there are things that I can decide and I have the power to decide, like,
right,
won't
yeah.
get you through. It's the
That's
gatekeeping
true.
Thing. It's just like a bummer. That's all.
Yeah, it was an obnoxious thing to post, even if it was a joke, but it wasn't a joke. I mean, she's quoting another comedian who was on a Zoom show who said that type of thing, but the difference is that he said it on a comedy show,
mm-hmm.
so we already assume that he's telling jokes, that he's being humorous. You are not a comedian. You just say straight ahead shit because you're a regular person, so why would we assume that you are joking in this moment, you know? Why would we give you the benefit of the doubt?
Also, you made this point, but I just want to bring it up because I can't stop thinking about it. It's like the Bill Burr thing. Do you just want to, that example?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like, okay, when Bill Burr stands on stage and says, there is a reason to hit a woman, we're on board because we know he's going to make it funny, or that he's joking, you know? But when just a guy named Bill who works in construction yells to his friend, I think there are reasons you should be able to hit a woman.
Jesus, Bill.
Yeah. We don't give him the benefit of the doubt. It's not that we're stupid. It's not that we can't figure out jokes, because that's what keeps coming up with this woman, is that I can't believe what a sad world we live in, where a comedian can't pick up on a joke, doesn't understand the subtlety of this joke.
Right.
And meanwhile, I'm pulling a lot of this from, and you can read all of this on my Twitter feed of us going back and forth. But I'm pulling some of this from the podcast they did, shitting on me and a bunch of other people, because a lot of people read this the same way. And her co-host didn't no, it was a joke. And he has her back throughout the podcast, but he keeps pushing back. And she's like, well, to your point where you were playing devil's advocate, people aren't playing devil's advocate with you. Mm-hmm. The only people that ultimately read that as a joke are the people you DM'd and explained the joke to them, or I didn't even know how you do that, just said it was a joke, because there's nothing to unpack.
You can't really
there.
Explain it how it was a joke.
Or the people that rolled over and were like, I'll let this go because this is a person who could give me opportunities in the future. So you're even your co-host on your show and friends of yours, and I, like I said before, you pulled rank on me by calling me an amateur and saying that you associate yourself with pros. Even pros did not get the joke. So maybe it's your fucking joke. Or what really happened is that you said something shitty and you rolled it back, and now you're calling it a joke.
Well,
and the proof of this is on the podcast she did.
Mm-hmm.
The first chunk of it is her saying that it was a joke. Oh my God, I can't believe you guys don't get jokes. And then the second fucking half of the podcast is her telling people who left New York to go fuck themselves. Yes. It's unreal. It's like you just negated the whole thing.
It is proving that you meant it 100%, which is fine. I mean, also, it's hard to go like back to the Bill Burr thing. If you just replace the Bill Burr joke in there and you go, I heard Bill Burr say, quote, there's not, what is it? There's
you can't say there's no reason to hit a woman.
And then you end quote and go, and I agree with this. That's not a joke. You're quoting a joke and then you're saying, I agree with the statement.
It sounds like you didn't get the joke. It sounds like you took something that was absurd on its face that you would say this. And you agreed with the true, like you acted as if it was a true sentiment and you agreed with that part.
Also, I'll go so far as to say, I don't think the comedian who said it was really joking. Like, I think it's just like, it was a playful, like, hey, how about we do this because I stayed in New York. Like,
I don't know. Cause she dropped, you know, she drops names throughout her podcast to, you know, reinforce her importance in the community. And knowing this guy, because she said who it was, mm-hmm. everything he says is a joke.
No,
he's a
I
fucking
know.
Goofball.
It's just like a playful, like, right, whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, even with jokes, there's like a lot of nuance. Like,
yeah, that's why they say you had to be there. But we had to have watched that Zoom show. It doesn't matter. You just, she presented it as fact. This is what I hope happens.
All that really matters is that, like, there was kind of a cruel sentiment stated coming from someone who really does have a tiny amount of power, a decision making, and you called them out on it. That's all.
Yeah.
And then, like, it just, like, invalidating that it was something like cruel, like that the fact that you got upset is like all gaslighting basically.
Oh yeah, I mean the back and forth were incredible. I mean, I don't know how much you guys argue on the internet, but I could have scripted her side of the argument. There's these things that people do when they're backed into a corner and they have no defense. One is you minimalize the other person. So I knew right out the gate it was going to come down to you know, basically, I know professional comedians and only amateur comedians got mad at this. That was a dig to say, like, you're an amateur comedian.
Therefore, your opinion doesn't matter.
Yeah,
as
it's irrelevant. Well, that's interesting because fucking everybody's opinion matters, motherfucker. You know what I mean? We're all doing this. And also, whatever. I'm to defend myself against a fucking slight like that is ridiculous.
Really
sure,
petty.
Sure, I'm an amateur comedian. Whatever. Who gives a fuck? But then the other thing is she, like, another gaslighting technique is this, like, what are you mad, bro? What are you pissed off? Oh, did I hurt your feelings? The name of her podcast is Triggered, which is like, oh my God, are you a 50-year-old sharing a Breitbart article on fucking Facebook?
I think that was tongue-in-cheek as well, sort of.
Kind of.
That's the thing, though.
Those people
this whole
are irony on top
like
of irony.
Tongue-in-cheek and yet serious at the same time. All these statements are like, if I say something playfully that's shitty, then it's okay. You kind of like have immunity. Like, it's okay.
Right.
I can say this shitty thing because it was a joke.
Because I'm in Brooklyn and it's ironic somehow. Yeah. You know what I mean? This isn't me saying this. This is like, imagine if somebody said Triggered. But it was all that like aggressive, like, oh, you seem upset, and like the winky face and stuff, all that, like,
there is something.
Can you believe that I said something shitty and it upset somebody else?
Yeah.
What a piece of shit that person is, you know?
It is.
Oh, okay.
There's something sociopathic about the way this is. I don't know if this happened in this instance, but when people argue on the internet, and they use like cry laughing emojis to sort of diminish the other person, and you know they're not laughing, they're just like filled with rage, slamming on their keyboard,
yeah.
But they keep using cry laughing emojis or LOLs and stuff. You're just like, oh God, this is, I don't know. It makes my skin crawl.
Well, it's also very childish. It's like, yeah. you're I don't know how old this woman is, but she's not a child. And like the you mad bros and the cry laughing emojis and the wink emojis and stuff. It's like, oh, are you a preteen on 4chan? Like, mm-hmm. Who am I talking to here? I want to discuss this shitty thing you said. And here you are pretending. I don't know. It's like arguing with Pee Wee Herman or something. It's like nothing's going to get through.
Yeah.
It's just, I know you are. What am I? Bullshit. And so she'll do that stuff. She'll come at you hard, like, fuck you, basically. What are you mad type shit. And then it switches when that doesn't work, when diminishing doesn't work, when, oh, she, I knew another thing she tried to do is shit on my comedy. But I know she's never seen my comedy. And also, that's a dead end for you, dude. Like, ask the people that are on your side what's up, if I'm good or not. And then finally, once the aggressive shit doesn't work, you become the victim. Now, all of a sudden, it's this guy called me names.
Mm-hmm.
And I have depression and anxiety. And then she does a podcast where she calls every one
that?
Of us bitches and pussies and shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I really am trying to, like, you know, I don't want to. I would like to stay objective because I have a fucking horse in this race as well. But then when somebody calls you fucking stupid or a pussy or like, well, now you're
I don't know if she said pussy, but she definitely said bitch, little
cry
bitch.
Baby.
Yeah, cry baby.
Dummy.
Because the whole second half of the podcast was shitting on people who left New York, how they're crybabies and bitches and just get the fuck out of here. And we stayed and it's like, well, if the whole thing was a joke,
mm-hmm.
if you're not mad at people, if you understand that people left because for loved ones or because the city was getting scary or whatever,
mm-hmm.
if you understood that, why this long chunk of shitting on people who left New York?
Because, I mean, it wasn't a joke.
It wasn't
because
a joke.
You meant it.
It wasn't a joke. We are capable. We, meaning the people that. You know, clapped back at you. We are capable of discerning what jokes are. All right. We know. Everybody fucking knows. It's not that hard. And again, once again, your co-host didn't know. By your own admission, your DMs were full of people who didn't think it was a joke because it wasn't a joke. And so to put yourself above everybody and to say that, like, I'm out here making these fucking like 3D chess joke moves, these things that are so subtle that the dumber comedians, the more amateur comedians, don't understand them, and then switching right back and explaining, like, well, when I talked to Sam Morrell and explained to him why it was a joke, he was cool about it. It's like, why'd you have to explain that to Sam Morrell, one of the fucking greatest joke writers alive right now? Why was that?
It's also, I mean, you have the ability to say it was a joke because you never intended to make a list, but then, you know, the written word, it's just a lie that, you know, it's like,
right, right.
You guys should have known that I was lying.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe the list part was a joke,
yeah.
But after listening to your podcast and listening to you, like, your quivering voice, like, spit vitriol at people who left New York, I know the sentiment was not a joke.
Yeah, so you really do mean that.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing. That's all I'm thinking about is, like, why are we doing this? Why are we being cruel to each other now? What,
right,
it's like,
right.
Everyone sits around and goes, in this, instead of like, how can we lift each other up? Everyone looks around and goes like, well, how can I pat myself on the back for basically doing nothing, which is staying in New York?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They sit on the couch and they look around their apartment and they go, why am I a hero today? Well, 15 minutes ago, I farted. Is that something?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know. I stayed in the fucking city. And by the way, we're in the city. It's a goddamn party. It's not scary.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that this is so hard on your emotional state that it's causing you to lash out at people. That's another thing she said. We should consider her fragile emotional state and cater to her kind of anger and aggression towards people who left, because it's really hard here. It's a tough time here, and maybe we should, I don't know, embrace her mental health disorder that's making her have a harder time than everybody else. But we're sitting on the fucking couch in New York right now, and probably later on we're going to go outside and get a frozen margarita and, and walk down the street with the dog in the sunlight, and it's not that fucking bad. And it's definitely not worse than other places in this country where you can't do shit.
I just want to like reiterate that like I'll accept. I know that you don't 100% accept this. I'll accept that it was like a joke. Like, I'm not actually going to do this, guys.
No, I'm with
but,
you.
Like, but I just hope that here's the thing. I think if I tweeted something that many people got upset about, I'd like to think that I'm the type of person who would look back, instead of calling everybody dumb and triggered and sensitive.
Yeah, you mad bro.
I think I would look and be like, okay, what did I do that would upset this many people?
Right.
Like, maybe this wasn't a good look, even if it was a joke. And like comparing it to people dismissing rape victims for not, like, that was such an unfair false equivalency.
Unreal. That, like, I mean, we had to pause the podcast and just look at each other like, they just brought rape
into it? She basically likened you to somebody who would tell a rape victim to suck it up and laugh at a rape joke because it's just a joke. And it's like, but I didn't do that.
This is the privilege of arguing with somebody who knows nothing about you, because they start painting these pictures, right? Mm-hmm. And they're just so inaccurate. And it's just wonderful. You love to see it.
It's just, and that was unfair. So like, it's a joke, but like, can't you see we're tired of people like spitting at each other and telling them why they're not worth, I don't know.
In a time where there is no comedy. So we don't have to kiss your ass anymore. And that's really what's happening.
That's exactly,
you know,
what this is.
This,
yes,
is the first time you've been held accountable for your bullshit. And that's why the DMs started flooding my inbox, because I don't know too much about this woman, but turns out she's got a lot of fucking enemies. And now's the time that some of them are going to strike, because they don't have to kiss your ass. The only thing you had going for you is that you book shows. And you got to look at your Twitter following. All those people that follow you, all those people that are sweet to you in your inbox when you get into arguments like that. Why is that? Are they like enthralled with your personality? Do they like being around you? How come so many big time comedians like to talk to you and send texts back and forth with you? Is it because you're so charming, or is it because you have this level of power? However, you know, little it is, it exists, and that's why people pretend to like you. And it's over. For the time being, comedy is over. It's probably going to come back and I'll never see a stage again. But for right now, I mean, you can talk shit. There's going to be shit.
Right.
You know, for the first time for you.
Yeah. I just like it. It's a frustrating situation to be in, because with comedian, there is a little bit of an adversarial relationship between comedians and bookers. Like, there are a ton of bookers that I love, that I really respect what they do, because I think that they care about comedy,
right?
And comedians, like, they have a level of respect for comedians.
Yeah.
And even when you joke, like, I know there are worse things going on and this isn't that serious and I can't believe we're mad, whatever, but just for the sake of let's get into this, when you joke that you would make a list based on something arbitrary, you're just kind of highlighting a glaring issue in this community,
correct,
which is that we feel like we're not really taken like our talent, quote
isn't
unquote,
isn't considered.
And I know they've made a joke that like everyone considers themselves artists. Not at all. This is silly. It's stupid. But we are involved in this community and there are hierarchies, and you're just admitting that sometimes, you know, the talent and who's funny and who's not is not taken into consideration.
Well, I mean, she flat out says that. She kept retweeting this tweet that I guess was making some kind of she thought was making some kind of point. It said something along the lines of, I don't even know why you guys are mad about this list. Everybody knows that when comedy comes back, there's going to be fewer venues and fewer bookers. So we're all going to book people based on their Twitter followers, how famous they are, and if they're friends with us. And, you know, there's a few other examples that were just disgusting. And this is another example. I mean, I don't even think she claimed this one was a joke. So she just was hard to tell.
I was like, is she?
No, she said on the podcast, she repeated it. She's like, I don't know why everybody's fucking mad. Then she went on this long rant about like when comedy comes back, there's only going to be a handful of us bookers, and we're not going to book people based on funny, not funny. We're going to book people based on their social media presence, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, first of all, I book a show. You don't have to do that. But, oh, that was her point, because those people are a draw. People, you'll get asses in the seats if you book a whatever Instagram star over somebody who's just hilarious and nobody knows who they are, right?
Wait, did she say that? Are you sure?
She said, she didn't say Instagram star, but okay. She said
following
people,
right?
Who have a following.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, people who have Twitter followers, I think was the example she used. And she was very serious about this. And she was explaining the way the industry works to you know, every comedian out there.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, I myself book a show, and I don't want to get into this like dick measuring contest of who has a better audience or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I will say I book a very, very, very popular show in New York for years. And our standard has always been who's the funniest. Mm-hmm. And we cultivated this massive audience for that reason.
Yeah.
The suggestion that you can't do that, or that bookers just don't do that, is frustrating. And to throw whether or not it was a joke, leaving New York on top of that list of what are your Twitter followers? Am I friends with you? Are you a draw? As another reason for you to get booked or not get booked is frustrating to comedians. And you live in a fucking bubble and you don't know that because you're not in this world. You're not on the other side of the fence.
Right. Yeah. It's also just kind of back to the hierarchies. It's kind of a bummer that we exist in this community where like people feel like they're not allowed to disagree. Like we've had people DM you and go, hey, I fully support you. Please don't bring my name up. Because they want...
Right.
Just the fact that you disagree with somebody in this position could get you, like, blacklisted. That shows that this is a fucked up system.
Right, yeah. I was just talking to a guy who also said some shit on the internet about her, or about this comment. And, you know, he basically said, I deserve to be on stage because I'm funny, not because I stayed in New York. That was like his big statement, which is so fucking obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to him, and he's worried about his JFL audition. He's in contact with some bigger clubs.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to blow up his spot, but I mean, then she gets to come back with like, I don't have that much power. It's like, well, you don't have that much power, but we just got an argument with you on a public platform, and I don't know who you know. And I don't know who's on your side by default, even though you're wrong.
And people will distance themselves from you to be safe.
Right? Oh, that's a great point.
Even if they agree with you, they'll be like, well, I want to get booked, so I'm going to avoid that person. And it's like, oh, man, can't we disagree? Like, can't we disagree and still get booked? Like, you would think, what an amazing, turning over, I don't know, like an olive branch that would be if it's like, hey, I disagree with you. I don't even frankly like you, but I think you're funny and I'm going to put you on my show.
I've done
like,
that
you've
shit.
You've done that a million times. Yeah. With people that you've argued with on the internet, but you're like, can't deny they're fucking funny.
Yeah, they're fucking funny. I love their albums. Come do the show again.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Don't talk to me when you get there.
Yeah.
I want my audience to enjoy the fucking show.
Right.
This is what I love. I love you doing great work on stage.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about the asses in the seats. I guess you could argue that that makes me a poor businessman, but it doesn't, because in the long term, I cultivated a massive audience by presenting a better product that wasn't, I don't look at your Twitter before you get on my stage, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't see how many followers you have.
How did you find people originally then?
We would go to shows. We would go to fucking UCB and sit in the back. And like, that's how I met Robert Dean. That's how I met a lot of fucking people. We would say, who's the fun? We would go to the cellar, and then we would, I remember Eric and I buying cigarettes so that we could
smoke with people outside the cellar.
Yeah, and ask
that
them.
That was like 13 years ago, right?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. And it wasn't, you know, of course you're going to ask Dave Attell because he's fucking incredible, but you're also going to ask the guy who did check spots that you don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, cellar's even a bad example because that's still elevated. Yeah, you know, you're going to see big shots there, but we would go to, you know, the Creek at 6 p.m.
Right.
And try to fucking find people.
And it turned out that a lot of these people did become very successful.
Yeah.
But that wasn't why, this was before that. That was why you sought them out was because they were funny.
Right. I think there's two types of bookers. Performers. There's people that look for talent, mm-hmm. and then there's people who say the world, the zeitgeist has already decided for me that this person has talent.
Yeah, yeah.
Therefore,
yeah.
I will take them and put them on my stage.
Yeah.
I don't even give a fuck. I go outside and smoke a cigarette when this is me talking as other bookers. When this person's on stage anyway.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about comedy. I've never gone to a show where I didn't sit next to the stage and watch everybody that went up because I like it.
Yeah.
And I don't feel it feels like a weird thing to say. Like, people are like, why were you in there the whole time? You know what I mean? Come in here with us and look at your phone.
Yeah, because for some people, it's a social thing rather than an appreciation, which, and not to be precious about the art form or whatever, because I know they made the argument that, like, these people take themselves too seriously and can consider themselves artists or whatever. I know it's a silly thing, but it is, like, a passion. It's something we care about. You know, like, even if this was, like, fucking, I don't know, Quidditch out in Central Park, those dorks, like, you take it seriously on like a micro level. When you're in it, you care about it, you want it to be good.
That was unreal, that chunk of the podcast where they elevated themselves above all of it and explained to everybody that comedy is silly and it does not matter. And it's like, well, fuck you, nothing matters.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that we're not building bridges or whatever, but are you mocking or belittling people for having a passion for liking something? Sorry, you're like so much cooler than everybody and you can't, nothing is. But it's all bullshit because you got all worked up about all these tweets.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense because are you in it or are you not? Are you better than it or are you? And hearing somebody who books comedy, this is another thing I was saying, is like hearing somebody who books comedy say stuff like this doesn't matter. It's like, sure, it doesn't matter on a global scale, but aren't you passionate about this? Because if you're not, that concerns me.
You should get into, she's an anthropologist, so maybe you fucking follow that path. Maybe you're passionate about anthropology. If fucking comedy is stupid and silly to you, then don't associate yourself with it. We don't fucking need you. That's kind of my point with all this shit, is you get these attitudes, these big personalities, these like, I'm going to tell you how it is. I'll tell you who gets booked and who doesn't get booked. And you sit back and you go, why do we need you? Because you went to the bar and talked to the owner and said, can I plug a microphone in here? That's your whole thing. And now you're in charge?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, this is what's confusing to me, especially, like, I don't want to use names, but like, people who I align with politically, like if you care about socialism and stuff and you don't see how this is like a little bit of a parallel to people who have boots on their necks by people who don't deserve to have, know, like we're at the mercy. You're exploiting people who care about this. They're hungry for stage time and you're kind of exploiting people for who are desperate to be seen and to perform.
Right.
Does
and
that
also
make sense?
Yeah. You're also using your kind of authority or power, even though I know you don't have any, but you do. And you're pitting people against each other, comedians, right? So like if I have the ability to say whether or not you get to perform, you're going to be on my side for some shit if you're weak-willed, you know?
Yeah.
So you get to take those people and pit them against people like me and a handful of other people who are calling out your shit.
Yeah.
It's like you, man, I'm trying not to use the word privilege because it's fucking obnoxious, but it exists in this.
It is a
this,
level
yeah.
of privilege that you have.
Power.
And this is all I'm saying. It bothers me that we are entrenched in this system where people are afraid to disagree with you because you have power. That bothers
yeah.
me. All I'm saying is I disagree with you.
Well, I mean, I ranted and raved. I didn't full on, I didn't go, well, I intend to
okay,
disagree.
You know, I
was like, well, partially the reason I did that was because, and she doesn't believe this. I went back and forth with her on Twitter and she was like, I don't believe you that other people said this type of stuff and you were responding to all of us. So I sent her DMs. I took screen grabs, or I took one screen grab. It's the only one I can hunt down. People tweet a lot. But even with that evidence, she somehow skirted around that and still thinks the whole thing's about her. But the language I've seen used, and she did this in her podcast too, toward people who left New York, it's fucking vile. It's like, fuck you, get the fuck out of here. You are a gentrifying piece of shit anyway.
Mentioning that people should be ashamed for leaving, it's like, have you ever experienced a pandemic before? They even brought up, her co-host brought up that if you leave, it's good because you're saving resources for people who are sick. That was my thought process. It's like, if you're able-bodied, why not get out? It not only helps you, but it helps other people.
Well, this is a perfect example of deciding everybody's story for them. I think she hinted a lot of times that everybody in this conversation is a rich person who
yeah.
is, you know, you can create these narratives.
It
you can invent
person. Yeah.
You can invent people to be mad at
right.
where you're right. Because they're evil because
yeah,
they live in your brain.
It bolsters your argument. You're on your... All these people left to go to their parents' estates.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They went to their parents' estates, got mad at her online, and then apologized for rape jokes. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Well, that's a bad person, sure.
Yeah.
But I don't fucking know that person.
You win there in that hypothetical.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, the point I was trying to make before is the reason I got aggressive online is to match the vitriol I'm hearing from people like this woman who are so angry. And like, for example, on her podcast, she said, you ran away like a little bitch, referring to people who went away to, you know,
wow.
the parents' house and somewhere else. I get to
so
make fun
reductive.
Of you for leaving. You only thought of New York as a temporary spot because you hate the trains and you hate the people and I hate my apartment and I hate everything about it. Yeah, so she is very annoyed with people who left. You know
right.
what I mean?
Which is just totally negates everything she said. It was like
it's
it was
not
a
joke.
No,
yeah.
you really believe this and you really meant it.
Maybe you don't have a physical list, but you're pissed off at people that left.
Yeah.
And after being aggressive, you turn around and say, "Now you have to take this abuse. You have to take me saying this shit." Because I stayed in New York and I'm having a hard time. And please take into consideration my mental well-being
that
when
was
I'm
said.
Screaming
See,
at you.
See, I missed this. There's
yeah,
a lot,
she said that a bunch.
There's a lot that I missed.
So I'm talking about the flip-flop between aggressor and victim.
Mm-hmm.
So aggressor doesn't work. Okay, I'm the victim now. People are being mean to me and it's tough here and you don't get it. And I'm poor and so I don't have another place to go to. Please consider my story. I'm not going to consider yours. I don't know why you left, and I don't know where you went. I'm assuming it's to go somewhere and apologize for rape jokes. But
assuming a lot of sinister stuff that's really unfair.
Yeah, please don't assume anything about me. Take into consideration how hard all this is for me.
Yeah.
While I tell you to go fuck yourself and make up stories about your history.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I have anything else to say. I'm wondering if this is going to be terrible for everybody. The other funny thing, though, is they started quoting Nietzsche halfway through the podcast, and both you and I burst out laughing when she said, and I think Nietzsche would agree with me. And that's just some horse shit about stand-up comedy.
It's like, wait, are you taking this more seriously or not?
Yeah, that whole chunk was about how we're taking this all too seriously. I mean, it's just another, it's like a more lofty version of why you mad, bro?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just gaslighting. Just stepped up a notch where you quote Nietzsche, you know?
It really, that is so...
Fuck you for caring about something.
The skin crawly level of pettiness when somebody goes, are you mad? You're mad. You're uncomfortable. You're mad. Like, it's almost invasive and it's gross being like, you seem upset.
Well, you seem, yeah.
It's like somebody getting in your face and like puffing their chest out and being like, are you going to cry? Are you going to fucking cry? Are you crying, bitch? And you're like,
yeah, there's all what? These things that alert you immediately that the person doesn't have anything, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
We've all been in arguments with people where they, you know, they pick something else. They figure out a way to get around it.
Yeah. Ugh, this is so, it sucks. It sucks, like, having to worry, like losing sleep, like, oh no, are people pissed at me? Because I, you know, I mean, I know you did go off on Facebook, like you.
Oh yeah.
You got heated and stuff, but you were vague enough.
Yeah, I was, because I wasn't specifically talking about her till somebody brought her up, and I was talking about her. This is all stuff that, you know, her ego won't allow her to accept.
Yeah,
you know, this was always all about me.
Right.
Just because somebody screen grabbed it and sent it to you, does not make that a fact. Just because it came over your phone and you read it and you internalized it, I'd said at one point, the shoe fits, fucking wear it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm not going to say I didn't write it about you, because I did, partially, but I don't know. I don't know you, and I don't particularly think about you that much.
Yeah.
And I think another reason that this, obviously I'm not going to sit here and pretend like it didn't shake me up a little bit, because I don't get in these arguments. And that's the other thing, that the person I was arguing with, I mean, a comedy controversy comes through with her fucking once, twice a year. You see it, you know, stacking up. You're like, ooh, what's she fighting about now? And her co-host too. This is what they do. Mm. They like to do this, and it's how they get clout. It's how they got those followers, you know, on top of just booking shows. But when you're fighting with, thank God that we're nobodies, because they won't get anything out of this, you know.
Yeah.
This will not. But they've had arguments with people who have a higher standing in the community, and whether or not, I don't even know what the fucking arguments were about, and I don't know whether or not they were right or wrong, but they get followers from it.
Mm-hmm.
They get, their podcast gets more listeners, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll happen here with this one.
No, we will lose listeners, because the people who listen to this aren't like in the comedy community. This isn't like a comedy for comedy nerds podcast. So people at home right now, I'm sure, are not even listening anymore. Like, I don't know these people. I don't care about this. Just make me laugh.
But I mean, I think it was necessary to rebut just all the horse shit that was floated out there. It's just, and also, we're not going to say anybody's name or anything, but it's fairly easy to track down. If you listen to them talk about us, the co-host.
See, you keep saying us. I am not involved in this.
Well, when I say us, I mean me and other people on the internet. I'm not talking about Catherine. She didn't do anything wrong. Keep booking her.
please.
Slit my throat if you see me. Please, you'd be doing me a favor. But the co-host on that podcast gently just keeps pushing back, and this is her best friend or whatever, just gently, maybe, I don't know if that's necessary. I don't know if it read as a joke.
It was really,
at first I didn't get it as a joke.
It was really nice to hear. It was funny, because you, in the middle of this podcast, you're like, what, he's on my side.
And she's like thanking him for playing devil's advocate, and it's like, that's, you're reading that wrong. Nobody's on your side. It made me feel a little bit better, but also at the same time, nobody's going to dig into the minutia and find out who's right and wrong in this situation. It's just going to be like, oh, look at these. And I'm guilty of this too. Look at these fucking children fighting on the internet.
Yeah.
And I make a note and I go, that's a fucking dork, you know? And now I'm one of those dorks.
Engaging in internet fights. I mean, people love it though. You could tell. That was like,
oh yeah,
this is very enjoyable for the people involved. Like, the fact that screenshots are going around and I'm getting DMs and all this stuff is like, this made your day.
Oh, for sure.
I can't wait to podcast about this, and we're doing the same thing. I don't know.
No, I don't care. It fills time. It does make me feel anxious, but you know, everything makes you feel anxious these days. And I'm not going to pretend like I'm above all of it, which is such a funny thing to do while your voice is quivering on a podcast. Like, I don't even think about any of this. It doesn't, none of it upsets me at all. And I'm above all of it. And it's even silly that you guys do comedy. It's like, I don't know. I don't buy it.
Yeah, I mean, you either care or you don't, but going back and forth win an argument is
this wave
telling.
This wave of irony poisoning and like it's cool not to care shit that hit about 3-4 years ago mm-hmm. in comedy, you know, it's just Comedown, really.
Yeah.
And they do it the best because Nick Mullen does not care about anything else. That's his fucking superpower, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody else has that.
Yeah.
And you definitely don't, because just read the fucking receipts, you know?
I mean, and I am on the side of it's not cool to not care.
Yeah.
Because it invalidates everything you're doing. If you enter into this, well, God, I can't call it a profession. I don't know what it is. Comedy. Like, you don't want somebody who doesn't care about what they're doing. It's
right.
Like, are you passionate about this or not? Is it everything or nothing? Does it not matter? Because if it doesn't matter, then why are you involved?
Are the shows you're booking just full of comics who are just so over it and don't care about it at all?
Yeah.
And then are your audiences enthralled with that kind of attitude? Is that really funny to them, or are they bored to fucking tears? I mean, I don't know what her shows look like. I only know one show she books. There, I've aired my grievances, and I don't have anything else to say about it. Do you?
I just want to say that everything Ian said is wrong, and that I'm available for booking, and that I think you guys are all right, and hey, fuck everyone who left New York. I think they should die in a fire.
Yeah, fuck you. Kill yourself.
I think everything everyone else says is correct, and I don't know. I just think let's not be shitty to each other. That's all. And I know this got heated and personal and petty, but I wish that we could point out some glaring power issues and stuff without being told that, like, either you're not funny, you're not worth even commenting on this, or that you take this too seriously and therefore it doesn't
matter.
You take
the thing you love too seriously.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot. What are you mad about it? And the thing about power is the thing she kept repeating over and over again is like, these people, this guy posted that I'm worthless and all I do is send Facebook messages and that's my whole job. But at the same time, he's mad that he might be on this list. Which one is it? Do I have no power, or am I going to get you banned from the cellar? It's like that's so disingenuous, dude. Mm. That's so disingenuous. You have some power is the answer. I didn't say you were the president of comedy. I didn't say that you are like there's one gate and you keep that gate. I'm saying you keep a gate, and I'm not afraid of being on your fucking list because you never booked me in the first fucking place.
Yeah.
I just think what you said was shitty. But then again, I don't think somebody like Gnome at the Comedy Cellar would write something like that because it's fucking nuts.
It's
a nutty thing to write.
It's petty. It's petty. It's a joke. I agree. I'm fully on board that it's a joke, but it's like
the list is a joke.
Yeah, yeah. The tweet itself, whatever, it was a joke, but it's a reminder that you hold this power and that you influence people's lives, and they better get in line with what you see, like act how you see fit. And it's like, that's not the kind of person I want to be associated with.
You simplified. It's so cool when you can simplify an argument to this person is mad that I said I'm going to put them on a list. And then on the podcast, this type of like, get the fuck out of here, you idiot. Who cares about being on my list? It's like, you know, you got to reframe the whole discussion and make yourself correct.
Yeah.
Don't talk to people like that. Don't wield your power in this way. Don't make jokes if you're not good at it.
Yeah.
Or if you're incapable of communicating that the thing you wrote is a joke. Or maybe don't make jokes that are just basically thinly veiled opinions is what really happens.
If that's all
you know?
It is, yeah.
If I tell a racist joke because I'm racist, the joke is still racist.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm still racist. The whole thing's shitty.
The sentiment's still there.
Right, right, right. And then the whole thing is like, what are you offended? Comedians don't like comedy being made about them. And sure, man. Yep, that's what it is. I don't like comedy. I love that she just admits the fact that the first comment I wrote on that Facebook status is like, I'm in New York.
Yeah.
You know? I don't like the way you're talking to people in general.
Right.
I think you have a big fucking mouth, and these are my friends. So fuck you.
You're being mean to people. That's
all. You're being mean to people. That's it. Yeah. It's like, oh, you don't get jokes. What are you going to do? You don't get jokes.
Triggered, Snowflake.
Yeah. Oh, my God. These people. It's so funny, too. These people that have, that are, for all intents and purposes, fucking nerds, mm-hmm. you know? And, like, I even think that they would self-identify as nerds. But kind of appropriating jock bully language, like,
as
what are you
joke.
Triggered? What are you mad? Are you mad? It's like, what are you gonna get on the podcast and tell us if ask us if we're mad and then like turn it off and put on your Coke bottle glasses and watch anime? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? What, who are you? What is this? Yeah, I mean, it comes back to the fact that you just adopt any winning strategy, any strategy you think is going to make the other person feel belittled and kind of curl up into a ball and go away.
But also, what's wrong with that? What's wrong? Like, it's another power thing. Like, did I evoke an emotional response in
right.
you? I'm powerful and you're weak. It's like, yeah, what's wrong with being annoyed? What you said was annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, these are kind of have to look at yourself. If that many people are not getting your joke about making a list, you have to go, oh my gosh, people see me as the type of person who would do this.
Yeah,
and that's,
isn't that interesting?
Concerning, right?
Yeah.
But then it's like, not if you're a pro, then not if you're worth anything.
Right.
I don't know. It's I
yeah,
think
because a pro knows, a pro is going to ignore that completely. If I am Jim Gaffigan, I know that any list where people are allowed to do comedy, I'm at the fucking top. I don't give a shit
yeah.
if the list is you have to be a black comedian. Excuse me, I'm Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
Okay, by all means, go in.
Of course, she's like saying, well, the people, I notice only amateur people are getting upset about this. It's like the amateur people are the ones who are like cruelly mocked in this way and have to jump through hoops like this.
Right.
These are the only people beholden to it's a very real thing in this goofy like bar show world. These lists and shit are real. The way people rank each other
yeah.
is arbitrary, and it's like, well, that may as well be a real thing. After all the other bullshit people
right,
have
right.
to
yeah.
compete with each other for.
Yeah, well, why would we not believe that?
It doesn't matter to people who are making a living doing comedy because they've already gotten past the bullshit list stage.
Yeah.
But it's like, if I'm trying to get out of the open mic scene and do a bar show circuit, these things are real. These things exist. And so all you're saying is I wrote something down and I lied about it. I wasn't serious, but...
And that's what jokes are to me, the joke expert who doesn't do jokes.
I don't know.
People are either going to love this or hate this. I know that like the other podcast that we're responding to, like this is their bread and butter, just kind of pissing people off online and then...
Disgusting.
Retelling the story.
Is that what that podcast is
yeah,
about?
I mean, think about the title.
Why? I thought maybe it might be like...
Oh, don't say
like,
the title.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, whatever, it's fine.
I thought maybe it might be about like things that upset them, but not necessarily.
No, I think the guy in the podcast is usually getting into some kind of feud online, probably political, and then they talk about it.
Okay.
I think that's like the... If I had to guess, I think that's the Cliff Notes. And this time she was all giddy and excited because she got to be the one to tell her side of the story, which maybe works for them, but I don't think people tune in to this one for that. But maybe, I don't know. I like a good comedy controversy. Controversy?
Yeah, controversy?
Controversy.
Yeah, sure. I think some people will be interested if they're like involved at all. Or maybe you can relate in some way.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt...
slighted.
Yeah.
upset, well then you suck. Why you mad, bro? Feelings are for idiots. Don't imagine, have feelings.
This is like not fair because I know this person was like, I don't have this much power, but like imagine Jeff Bezos being like, from now on we're gonna find out who's been slacking off at work and I'm gonna dock their pay. It was a joke. I'm not actually gonna do that.
Yeah, who would believe that me, Jeff Bezos, would do something like that with my history of, you know, as a philanthropist?
I don't know.
Yeah, or just like, hey, we're docking your pay. Oh, what are you, mad, bro? Oh my God.
Triggered.
Imagine like being like loving this so much.
Yeah.
Love your job.
We're going to make it harder for you to do the thing you love. Yeah. What are you, mad? Of course, I'm not actually going to do that. Well, sorry, but it seems like something you would do.
Have you ever had that friend that's like, I don't know, not even friend, but just acquaintance or somebody you know who's like, I saw a guy get killed yesterday. And you're like, what? That's crazy. What happened? They're like, oh my God, you believed me?
I was joking.
Oh, this is what jokes are for me.
This guy's a fucking idiot.
You should have seen your face, you idiot. How did you not know I was joking when I looked in your eyes and said just a regular sentence?
Just a statement of fact.
Yeah. How did you not pick up on the subtlety of my hilarious punk? All right. Do you want to end it?
Uh-huh. Let's end it all.
Okay. We probably should. We did a Patreon episode yesterday that we put up. If you're interested in that kind of thing, if you're still with us, we like put a bunch of our stand up out there.
Oh,
we
yeah.
found all these clips from our phones and we played those in the podcast, and then we talked about it and we got progressively more drunk.
Oh my God, yeah.
So check that out if you want to sign up. And also, I said this on the Patreon too, if you want to email us, I mean, nobody's fucking doing anything, so we could start a correspondence with some of you if you
so
please. We
could be pen pals.
Yeah.
John Stossel is a butt weasel.
But only if
gmail.
You live in
com.
New York. If yeah. not, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.